Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go hook him up!
I would attack you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio, sort of, kinda, I guess. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by no one. That's because my other co-hosts don't even know I'm doing this, I don't even think. Anyway, first off, I want to apologize for no new show last night. It's been kind of hectic here. I've had some car issues, and I'm on a two-week waiting list before they even see my car. I've been having to borrow my mom's car. It's causing, she lives in the country. It's been causing havoc, and I just was not able to do the show last night. So I apologize for that. But to make up for it, we are going to have a little audio here, basically. Thanks to the Uncle Mike and Tom show, I have some audio to play for you. I was their guest twice on their show, talking the Anarchy Championship Wrestling Queen of Queens show featuring Leva Bates. And then I also was on their show talking the last Inspire Pro Wrestling show featuring Leva Bates, Mia Yam, and Soul Darling. And I never really got to talk about those too much on this show for whatever reasons. So I think they're good interviews, and I had a lot to say about the show, so I'm going to go ahead and play these clips, hopefully. I never downloaded anything as long as these because they're each an hour. So hopefully everything will go right. I'm just going to sit here with my phone on mute and listen to it. But before I get to the audio, I guess since tomorrow is SummerSlam and also Super China Buffet Day, which unfortunately I'll be celebrating by myself since my partner in crime moved away to the Carolinas and the other annoyance, he moved to Seattle. So he gets to bug Brian and Vinny and Craig tomorrow instead of me. And that is the notorious Supersonic. But what I will do here is I am going to run down the SummerSlam card very briefly. And if I can find it here, somehow my page moved. And what the fuck? Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. Brian did the update. He fucking did it differently, so it's throwing everything into chaos. Okay, here it is. Okay, apparently they added a dark match, which would be Antonio Cesaro versus RVD, which is kind of a weird match because there's no meaning to this or has nothing between the two going on. Hopefully Cesaro will get a win since he's been losing pretty much every time he is on TV. And hopefully that'll start a trend, but knowing WWE, probably not. Anyway, first match listed here, AJ Lee versus Paige for the Divas title, and I'm fine with either one of them being champion. I am glad that Paige has gone heel. She is a billion times better as a heel, way more comfortable, way, way better promos as a heel. So I actually would like for her to win and be champion as a heel, but either way is fine. I have a feeling AJ will probably win, but hopefully it'll be a good match, a little better than the last one. The next one is The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental title. The Miz has actually been pretty awesome since he came back, and he's doing this face movie star gimmick. And Dolph Ziggler, I don't know, I'm not really that into Dolph these days. And I guess part of it's the booking, but Dolph just doesn't really do it for me too much now. But hopefully this will be a good match, and it is for the Intercontinental title. And I kind of see The Miz retaining, and we'll see what happens. Next off is a flag match, I guess. I don't even know what the fuck. I don't know if it's a flag on a pole match or seconds wave the flag to surrender match or who the fuck knows what's going on. But anyway, the All-American Jack Swagger versus Rusev with Lana. And this will probably be my favorite part of the pay-per-view because right now Lana is in the WWE as far as I'm concerned. And I really, really, really dig her. She is awesome. Anyway, they could go either way on this match. Depending on what the rules are, they might not have to pin Rusev. And if they don't have to pin Rusev, I would actually have Swagger win one way or the other and continue this to another match. And then finally on the blow-off, you could have Rusev win. So hopefully they would do that. And this whole feud wasn't even supposed to happen, but the fans got into it so much, and it's been booked so awesome that it has probably been the best angle that they've done, barring the Stephanie one, depending on how you see the Stephanie angle. It's been very good. Next is a match that everyone got pissed off we didn't get to see last week, which is Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins in a lumberjack match. And I was thinking Dean would win, and they would go on to another match, and then Seth could win that one. But apparently Dean's going to be the star of the next WWE movie, so he won't be around for a while, depending on movie schedules or whatever. So I can see Seth winning this one. Hopefully, one way or the other, this will continue, even if it's postponed a little bit. These two dudes are awesome. Dean is awesome. And it's even more incredible that he's doing it as a face because he's like this generation's Tully Blanchard, but he's actually getting over as a baby face somehow. And Seth Rollins has been great, except for that superhero wannabe costume he comes to the ring in. Next match is Y2J Chris Jericho versus Bray Wyatt. And since Jericho won clean on the last show, I see Bray winning this match. And hopefully it'll be better than the last one. I didn't think the last one was too bad, but everybody seemed to complain about it. Next match is a match they've been pushing very heavily, Roman Reigns versus Randy Orton. And Randy's been on fire lately. He's been looking really good. They're booking Reigns really good. Hopefully he's been doing some cardio and he won't get too blown up in this match. And hopefully Randy will have his working shoes on and will carry him to a great match. You never know what you get with Randy, but when he is on, he is on. And I have a feeling he's there to make Roman Reigns look like $1 million. So I see Roman Reigns winning this match, and it's not going to hurt Randy one bit. So, and excuse me, even continue, we'll see. But I have a feeling Roman Reigns will be winning this match. Next match is what some people might even say the main event. I'm sure a lot of people will be like, what the fuck are you talking about? But we have Stephanie McMahon versus Brie Bella. And I think obviously there's going to be a lot of smoke and mirrors, but I have a feeling this will be very, very entertaining. Apparently Brian's not happy about the cheating with the physical therapist angle that they did on Monday, and I wouldn't be either because from real-life couples, these kids like that in pro wrestling doesn't have happy ending most of the time, and they just barely got married, so I'm sure he's the one that has to deal with that shit this soon, but I'm sure this will be pretty good. I have no idea what will happen. Nikki could turn on Brie. I think it would be best for Brie to win this match, but Stephanie, you know, is a McMahon, and McMahons get their way to do what they want. So she might book herself to win, but I'm sure this will be a very, very entertaining spectacle, and I can't wait. Main event, of course, is for the title, and that is John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. And as much as I'm a part of the C Nation, and yeah, that's right, let's go Cena. And I am going to predict Brock Lesnar. He really does need to win. He needs to on with the momentum of beating The Undertaker and making something really special when he does lose. And he doesn't need to lose to John Cena. Cena doesn't need to beat him. Okay, so you have put the title on Brock. And even if he is on the TV every week, you can still have Heyman come out with the title and cut the promos or have him do videotapes. So even though he's not going to be there full time, it's not going to hurt anything. It's even probably going to make the match mean more come WrestleMania, where he'll probably be wrestling Roman Reigns for the title. And then probably put Roman Reigns over at WrestleMania. So, yeah, hopefully Brock will win. I don't see as much blood as their last match. I can see Cena allowing a man to shoot elbow him in the face for real once. I don't know if he's going to let him do it a second time. But, you know, Cena works his ass off. Brock is great. Paulie just being outside is going to add to the match considerably. And I think it's going to be a good show tomorrow. I can't wait, and probably going to get in trouble because probably not going to go to work to watch this. So we'll see what happens. So anyway, that's mainly what's going on with SummerSlam. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to play these two interviews. Like I said, they are from the Uncle Mike and Tom show. So you can look them up. You can follow them at Twitter at Mike Tom Show. And, you know, just like, I guess you could Google the Uncle Mike and Tom Show, and they've done about, I think they've done like about 101, 102 shows. They cover indie wrestling. They do interviews. The opening act for my last appearance on their show was Ricochet, because as hot and awesome as Ricochet is, you know, he's no Ed in San Antonio. So, yes, he was my opening act, and I was the main event on the last show. So, yeah, check him out, the Uncle Mike and Tom Show. And they have a thread on the board at WrestlingObserver.com there, too. You can find their show there. So, yeah, look them up and give them a listen, too. They're cool dudes, and I enjoyed being on their show, and I thank them for the opportunity to basically, I rambled for like an hour each show and barely let them get any words in edgewise. But really good time, so check them out. I'll also throw out the real plugs here. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show on AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Mark Show and just pretty much audio for every night of the week. So check them out. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Couture and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. You can follow Craig at Proper Jam, and I don't even know what Couture's Twitter is, but he has a really awesome YouTube channel, so channel and check that out while it's still there. So, yeah, everyone check those out. So I'm going to go ahead and basically play these interviews. They're basically all about the two shows I went. The first one was the Queen of Queens show for Anarchy Championship Wrestling in Austin, Texas, which I made the road trip and watched. And it was an incredible show and really, really good show featuring Lava Bates and and Angel Blue, who was once a guest on our show many years ago. When she was first breaking in, and this show, this chick is like out of her mind. She was awesome on this show. And there's also Sue Young, Athena, Jenny Rose, Candice LeRae, Jessica James, and a few others. It was a really good show. The other show I went to was the Inspire Pro Wrestling show, which is also in Austin, and that featured, of course, Leva Bates, and also this time Mia Yam and Soul Darling. And this was another really great show, really great venue. So basically what I'm going to do here, I hope this comes off all right. I'm just going to sit here with my phone on mute, and hopefully these will play all right. They're about an hour each. So we will get started with the Queen of Queens show now.
And now, joining us on the show, we're making an exception this week since this is a very Dallas Mavericks-friendly podcast. And the man we're about to have on is from San Antonio. He's a co-host of Over the Top Radio and the man that coordinates all of the Wrestling Observer conventions. We proudly welcome to the Uncle Mike and Tom Show, Mr. Ed in San Antonio. Welcome, brother.
Thank you. And, yes, I'm from San Antonio, the home of the NBA champions this year.
Hey, congratulations. They deserve it. But I'll say this. There's only one team that took them to the limit in the entire tournament, and that was my Mavericks.
Yeah, I mean, you guys played us tougher than anybody. Hell, you guys had us down. I think you guys gave us the kick in the ass we needed. And since that game seven, there was no looking back to the Spurs. They were just on a mission.
I know. It was just insane. They were blowing everybody away, man. I loved watching the finals since I hate the Heat, man. That was like, that was music to my eyes every night, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was beautiful watching them destroy LeBron. It was like, I think WWE creative and TNA creative, they need to take a lesson from the NBA creative because that was the most perfectly booked year-long storyline ever.
I know. That's I bet a couple of people I work with made a lot of money. I was like, no fucking way. San Antonio has gone a whole year to get back to this moment. There's no way they're going to lose to this team again after the way they lost the year before, you know?
Yeah. And it was beautiful. I had to cancel two of my shows because I didn't have a voice for 2 weeks.
That's what I was like. I'm actually not that disappointed Dallas is gone. At least for the next month of my life, I can live like a normal person. I'll be screaming at the TV every night after God for the playoffs. But we didn't bring you on here to talk about basketball, man. We're going to talk about some wrestling. And you're just getting back from beautiful Las Vegas. This past weekend was the annual Figure Four Empire convention down there, man. How was that for 4 or 5 days there?
It was our eighth one, and I think it might have been the best one ever. I mean, you can't have a bad trip in Vegas. Well, actually, I did have a friend who had a bad trip in Vegas that ended up with a girlfriend leaving him, taking all his money, him giving him kidney stones, and him almost seemed like he was going to die. But other than that, you can't have a bad trip in Vegas. And, yeah, we've been doing this for like 8 years, and every year it seems to get bigger. I was worried this year was going to be like a down year because a lot of the regulars weren't there.
Right.
But we had a bigger turnout than ever. And next year, Dave even wants to get active and participate in some of the planning. So, man, maybe we can break 100 people for next year.
Yeah, him and Brian both were talking really positive about it when they got back on Sunday night on Wrestling Observer Radio, man.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. We had some, I knew they were coming, but I wasn't going to be 100% sure until they got there, but, you know, we always seem to have, like, some surprises show up. Like, in the past, we've had Evan Bourne's been there a few times. We've had Roderick Strong. We had Daniel Bryan before he got signed. Last year, Nigel McGuinness just popped into my suite party. I'll never forget, I was outside in the patio partaking in some gimmicks. I come inside, I go to the bar, I walk away, and my one buddy who helped me get the suite that year, he's like, are you seriously going to walk by Nigel McGuinness and not say anything? And I'm like, shut the fuck up. Nigel McGuinness is, oh my God, is Nigel McGuinness.
Right?
And then we've had like Antonio the Plumbus Thomas the last couple of years, but you know, he's not like a main event or anything. So I was kind of worried that, you know, he was going to be the only guest, but, Prime Time decided to make a surprise appearance at our banquet dinner. And I don't know if you saw the front page of Brian's website, but there's a picture of two giant black men and a tiny little old lady. And I think that might have been the best picture of the weekend.
Yeah, JTG's finally broken away from his really rough schedule at WWE. You know, he can attend these things now.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed he didn't have the grill on.
Ah, it's only a gimmick, damn it. But that's cool for hardcore wrestling fans like ourselves and you. Even just to get to hang out with Big Dave for a day or two is pretty fucking cool.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, if you want all your fucking personalized wrestling questions answered, no matter how obscure they are, you just got to, that's your perfect chance to ask Dave. I had a guy, he sent me a message. He's like,
how does it work with Dave? How do we talk to him? Yeah. And I was like, all right. I said, all right, just go straight up to him. Don't ask him how he's doing. Don't ask him about his sound. Don't make no small talk. Just start asking your fucking questions. Or else you'll make him uncomfortable if you do. I mean, if you ask him your question, he'll go into Dave mode and he'll just start talking.
He'll just go into Dave mode. Like he's on a 24-hour podcast.
Yeah. And then the sweet party is a trip, man, because you'll have about maybe 75-80% of the people who are just there partying, having a good time, and then you have the day zone where they're just sitting there, you know, asking Dave questions the whole night long and stuff. That's why he wants to do the Q&A, I think, because I think he realized he needs to talk to more people.
Yeah.
And stuff. So, yeah, it's a great time. Anyone who ever, you don't even have to be a member of the website. Just come to Vegas and fucking hang out, man. We do all kinds of shit. We had went to the steak place. We had our banquet. We got UFC. We had my sweet party I always throw. We had a mini golf tournament. We have karaoke. Next year we're going to add bowling to the thing. I mean, it's insane.
And see, here I'm thinking, I'm not in the UFC anymore. I don't care about the 4th of July, the early July one. Like WrestleMania, I should be out at WrestleMania next year, so I will be partaking in some of them festivities next
year. I was telling Dave, because this is in Dave's part of the woods, I was like, hey, Dave, I forgot to mention it to you, but we're planning the barbecue the day before Mania is going to be at your house. he just pauses, looks at me, shakes his head, and gives me a quick laugh. He goes, no.
Be awesome, barbecuing at Dave Meltzer's.
I'm like, come on, Dave, can you grill, we'll get some steaks, you know, and he wasn't having it, though, but we'll be partying close to his house, I think we're going to steak back near him, but. Yeah, I guess come December, I got to get on that and start planning shit. Hopefully, I can. Luckily, the last couple of years, I've had people who have been, you know, in New Orleans or in New York, and were able to help do the groundwork as far as like the dinners and stuff. So, got to get somebody in Cisco to find out. I know Dave's a little busy to do that shit, but I'll be in charge of that too. So hopefully, we'll have a good time. You can come hang out with us.
That's awesome that this happens twice a year, man. But before you went to Las Vegas, the previous week, you went to Anarchy Championship Wrestling in the 2014 America Joshi Queen of the Queens tournament, man. And that's why we really have you on to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. This was the greatest indie show I've ever seen all time in my life. It was the craziest shit.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, do you go to, I don't know how far Austin, Texas is from San Antonio. Is this the first time you've been at ACW, or do you go there on a regular basis?
No, it's the first time I've ever been there. I tried to go last year for the Queen of Queens, but that Friday I was trying to do a show. I was actually supposed to have Dave as a guest, and I ran out of gas right before I got Dave on the phone, and I kind of screwed everything up. And then by the time I got gas, my alternator went out, and it was just screwed up as far as, you know, having my car being fixed all the next day, so I wasn't able to make it last year. I wanted to go because Leva, Eva Bates was in it last year, right, and make it. I got a buddy who's always trying to get me out there, but I work on Sundays, and it's like almost impossible unless something special is happening. But this year I had to go because I haven't really told the story too much, but I actually got Leva booked on the show.
Kind of. Really? Yeah, we know you love Leva Bates.
Yeah, like,
you helped get her booked, though.
Yeah, like one of the guys who works there is this guy, Jack Jameson, and he's one of Landstorm's students.
Right.
And I guess he kind of excited me because when he was going to school, Lance named him after me. And I had seen him post about or something, I forgot what it was, somewhere it was, but he posted about he was going to be wrestling on the Queen of Queens. So I posted on his wall, because I know his buddy was Leva. I posted on his wall, he goes, man, if you get Leva Bates on the show, I'll buy you dinner. So he tagged Leva. He tagged Leva. Leva tagged the promoter. The promoter said, you got it. And next thing I know, 10 minutes later, he sent Leva an email, and she was booked on the show.
I seen all their tweets. I had no idea. That's what led them to getting booked, though. Awesome.
So, but
free meal.
Yeah, it was great. It's crazy, and then that it's the most different like wrestling show as far as the setup, because it's at a bar and it's actually outside, but it's like kind of surrounded by four sides, and you got your ringside, And then you have like a patio on the roof of the bar that kind of goes around. Yeah. And
the Mohawk.
Kinda like a, yeah, the Mohawk. It's kind of like a gladiator's pit almost, it seemed like.
Yeah, because like we watched a bunch of their DVDs, and it looks like a super cool place to go watch a show live at.
Yeah, they need to invest in some new chairs because these chairs look like they've been destroyed like 10 times over. And the chicks didn't stop. The chicks were fucking them up just as much as the guys during the show. So it's like they need some new chairs. But, yeah, it's a crazy thing. I got front row, so I was like fucking inches away. I refused to get out of my seat every time we knew they were going to come flying out of the ring. Everything else scattered. I once had Nick Robich who drove Bison Smith on top of me and then climbed to the top of the railing and dropped an elbow on us. So I'm sorry. Candice LeRae is just not going to scare me when she's coming at me doing it's okay. But, as far as the setup, it was really cool, you know. And then, you know, of course, there's booze. You know, you can't get that at all out of all the indie shows. Like RCW here, it depends on where they're at. You can get booze or not get booze. So
exactly.
I enjoyed the Mohawk. That was pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the thing with CZW right now. They're at the Flyer Skate Zone, so there's no alcohol there. So it's really weird CZW shows that are, like, dry, you know?
If any show needs to have alcohol, it's theirs, you know what I mean?
I know. So once again, you got to partake in gimmicks out in the park a lot before you go in, you know?
Yeah, I know something about that.
So ACW at the Mohawk, man. So how many of the so this is probably the first time you've seen a lot of the male wrestlers I would take it on the show, right?
Except for Paul London, yeah, it's the first time I've seen a lot of these guys. Most of them were kind of smallish size, but these guys were in phenomenal shape, man. Some of these guys are just ripped. You know, 12 packs from hell, you know, and
I hear you.
There was like one guy who was a little out of shape, but I mean, as far as the guy matches, they were pretty cool. I wasn't familiar with anybody other than Paul London and the guy Jack Jameson, but the matches were actually pretty funny. It seemed like a lot of those guys are like kind of comedy wrestlers. It seemed like, I mean, there was a lot of comedy, but they were working their ass off, and yeah, they had some good matches. Paul London looked a little smaller. But he was ripped, and he was working hard. You know, I figured he'd take it easy and let the other dude do all the work. But,
yeah, every time Paul London, he's usually going balls out. He doesn't usually mail it in. I give him that much credit.
Yeah, he was cool because there was this little 10-year-old boy like inside, and he let the kid come up and hold the belt and get in the ring. They're the tag champions, and they wrestled two dudes from Australia. One of which, after I talked to him a little later, found out he was also a Landstorm student. And he was pretty good. I mean, basically all the guys were good. I mean, there was nobody who I thought sucked, you know. And when you go to an indie show, you see a lot of suck.
That's why I noticed, because we've been watching some of the ACW. And now there's another league in the Austin area, Inspire Pro Wrestling. And
I will be there on the 27th.
Whoa. There you go. And there's like a lot of talented indie guys in Texas right now. It's like,
yeah.
We got to start giving some of these guys some press.
Yeah, it seems like they kind of share some of the guys. I was kind of looking at the roster because I wasn't familiar with them at all. I never heard of them until I was at the show. And I was waiting. I was letting Aziva talk to the guys in the gimmick line. This guy came up to me and he's like, it always freaks me out because Aziva just walks up to me. You're in San Antonio, right? And I was like, oh, yeah. And then he just started telling me that he goes to these shows and he goes to Inspire and has something to do with Inspire. And I was like, oh, I'll look it up. And then Leva told me that her, Mia, and Solo Darling are coming in on the 27th. So I was like, well, fuck yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah. Cool.
I got to tell you, you picked a hell of a night to go. Leva Bates wasn't only in the tournament. She ended up going all the way to the finals, so you got to see her three times.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. It was actually brought in some good talent. I mean, I know a couple of them are kind of regulars, but as far as like mainstream, like, if you call it mainstream, the main ones were, you know, they brought in Leva Bates. They had, they brought in Candice LeRae. Athena, who I'm pretty sure works there a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Sue Young, who has been there a while. There was this other girl who, come to find out, she's been around a little longer than I thought, but her name was Jenny Rhodes from Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a Ring of Honor student.
She's real good.
Yeah, and she, She's pretty hot, dude. And she's a good worker. And she's real nice. I got to meet talk to her a little bit after the show. And then they had some regulars from there. They had a girl I'm not too familiar with, Miss Dyslexia. They had Jessica James, who I guess is a regular there, but I'm not too familiar with. And, of course, they had Angel Blue, who I'm a little familiar with. I interviewed her one time years ago, and she worked RCW, but I guess I had a falling out with him. But she's changed a lot, man. When the first time I saw her, she was like Seamus White and was in shape, but now, like, she wasn't fat or anything, but she was in shape. She just wasn't, she was, I guess, kind of soft. Now she's got like a tan. Her waist is tiny. She's ripped. And she's the, I'm going to tell you this right now, Angel Blue is the best kept woman's secret in all of pro wrestling. That bitch just blew my mind away.
It's good to hear, because like they're pretty far behind on her DVD. So the last time we seen Angel Blue, she was still white as Sheamus. It sounds great to hear she got in better shape and got tan. And she's always been a very strong worker for all the stuff I've seen her in. ACW, so that's good.
Yeah, when I seen her in the baby face, she was like in RCW, and she was kind of pushed below their main one, Pink, and then this, you know, I guess it was, I don't know, it might have been her and Anderson's girlfriend or something, this chick Darcy, who was pretty, but goddamn, she was awful. She monkey flipped Angel Blue and somehow knocked herself out for like a minute.
Jesus. Holy shit.
All right, let's run over these results really quick. And it opened up with Kai and Tai USA, Adani Brooks, Dylan Dunbar, and Dylan Devine defeating Stan Summers and the whole effing team of Johnny Axel and Mr. BJ.
I actually missed that match. I got there like a little bit after 6. I know they had like a pre-show.
I'm not even familiar with none of them guys, actually. I don't think I've ever seen any of them. They also had Miss Dyslexia defeat Paige Turner by pinfall.
Okay, I missed that one, but I just hear later. I guess that was a tournament match, unless it was like to get into the tournament.
And they had an Anarchy Gauntlet match. Winner receives the ACW Hardcore Championship shot later in the show, and Absolute Rookie Starks defeated JoJo Bravo by pinfall to earn the shot later in the show.
Yeah, I did see half of that. I started seeing it where Jack Jameson won. I got there right when Jack... And which kind of sucks, because I did want to see Jack because I was going to go hang out with Jack. But I saw him win, and then he got jumped and beat down, and then the guy beat him, I guess, JoJo Bravo. And then he won a couple. And this dude's fucking hilarious, man. He had to call, like, he was calling, like, all his spots, and he had, like, some crazy name for all of them. And I think he won one or two rounds, two things, and then that Ricky guy came in, and... he looked like familiar to me, but like from someone from TV or something. But I just couldn't place it. And they had a pretty good match. They got Ricky. He's working his ass off. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah. I think Ricky Starks is one of them young guys that once people get to see him in other areas besides down in Texas, that he could possibly break out and be an indie name across the country.
He's in great shape.
So Joe Bravo too, for that matter.
Oh yeah.
Then we got.
What's funny is I've seen JoJo here in RCW, but he looked totally different over here. They kind of changed his name a little bit, so I was thinking, okay, it was something Bravo, and I was like, man, is that JoJo or is it like somebody else? But yeah, obviously later I found out it was JoJo.
Yeah, he probably did that for the show.
I guess it was JoJoshi Bravo.
Yeah, okay, that's what it was.
I don't know what they're the story is behind that.
They're probably just dicking around because of the show.
JoJo. Yeah, maybe. So speaking of Joshi, we get to the tournament matches. Opening round, Athena and Jenny Rose. Athena ends up winning by submission.
Yeah, this was a good match, man. They started off with, like, a lot of chain wrestling. And this is what really, like, impressed me with Jenny Rose, because I hadn't seen her before. And she was, like, her chain wrestling with Athena was really good. And what really freaked me out is I've seen Athena live a few times. I've seen her against Hamada, seen her against Candice LeRae. I've seen her in a couple of Shine matches. She's always this, like, athletic chick, but she never really showed me any personality. Right. And she did here. She was actually awesome as far as, like, you know, her personality. Like, Jenny, like, had her in, like, oh, what the hell, I forgot what she had her in, but she was, like, one of those bridging where she has like her legs and she bridges and grabs Athena's head. And Athena's like, the ref's like, what do you see, Athena? And Athena's like screaming, it hurts, it hurts. And then like later on, she's like, what do you say? He's off. I say, why is this goddamn rope so far away? And she really surprised me. And they had a long match. And it was back and forth. Jenny's got some like nice kind of old school ring gear. And she looked nice in it, that's I guess I could say. Being that close, you can't, you know, not to sound, I guess I'm going to sound like a pervert, but Jesus Christ, Athena has an ass on her. but they had, you know, they had a great back and forth technical match. It was really good. I was impressed from the first match, you know, and, yeah, I thought it was great, you know.
Yeah, Jenny Rose, she trained at Ring of Honor. She used to wrestle under a mask as Jamelia Croft. And she was a heavyset girl. And
She spent a few years in Japan.
Yeah,
and
that's what happened. She went
to
Japan for 2 years and
come back
man.
Ass.
Yeah, she's like a whole different fucking woman.
I kind of got a story about that because, like I say, I talked to her for a little bit, and she was telling me about the Ring of Honor school and so and so. And then we're sending a message back, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna get on my boy Prazak and bug him to death so he books you on the next Shimmer taping. And she's, oh, thank you. And then, you know, my dumb ass not knowing she's worked for Dave before. I fucking Mrs. Dave, like, hey, Miss Dave, there's this girl I saw. She's fucking awesome, Jenny Rose. You gotta check her out. You know, I told her she went to the school. Maybe he saw her or Stan. He's like, he messaged me back. He's like, oh yeah, dude, she's wrestled a bunch of times in Shimmer. I was like, I felt so stupid. I was like, oh yeah, now she thinks like I'm a mark just trying to impress her.
Yeah, but like she looks totally different. Yeah. So unless you knew, there'd be no way you would know just by looking at her.
Not compared to when she was Jamelia Craft.
Exactly. How would you even know unless somebody?
And I looked at, and he like sent me like this listing that like had like all her matches. And I was looking at them. And in Japan, she's wrestled Jaguar Jakota and Manami Toyota and all those old chicks. It is like pretty impressive. I mean, you know, I'm the biggest. I think Miami Toyota might be the greatest wrestler, man or woman, ever, dude. So it's like, I freaked out when I heard she wrestled her.
Right.
So, and she looks like she's toned down a little too. You know, so she, I mean, she was looking very attractive, and like she was really good in the ring.
Totally. And so it's good to see her get some bookings in Texas, man, for a change. So then we have Aoife Bates took on Angel Blue and defeated her by pinfall to advance to the semifinals.
Yeah, this match this is where I really saw the greatness of Angel Blue. But Leva came out, she was doing, I always can't see it until I hear it. What's the fucking movie that Angelina Jolie just made?
I think it's like Maleficent.
Maleficent? Maleficent? Yes. Okay, Leva was Maleficent. All with like the whole headgear thing, witch makeup, like witch robe. Some like thick little dead crow on her thing. She looked like it was more. This one was more geared to the. She said it was the same thing, but this one was more geared toward the cartoon Maleficent.
Yeah.
And then they had all of that. This one dude out in the audience. I don't know if he's with the group or just a fan, but he brought like a shitload of streamers. So like when Athena came out, he had passed streamers out, people through the streamers. And then before the Leva match, he passed them out, and he's like, okay, these are for Leva. So Leva comes out. Here come the streamers. Good. And then Angel Blue comes out, and she's part of some group called the Business, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have some, like, Dudley Boyd-ish looking manager, kind of, hillbilly-looking dude.
Right.
So she gets in the ring, and they introduce her, and I guess they stole the Jimmy Rave gimmick because it must have been, like, about fucking 30 rolls of fucking toilet paper that fucking hit the ring. And she made sure she, like, wrapped herself in, like, all of them. I mean, she, like, threw, like, the biggest fit. Which is fucking, she was just out of her mind. And then, like, that little boy that I told you about earlier, at first he was kind of going for the heels. And I guess Angel wasn't having that, so she just turned around and just told him to shut the fuck up. So he, like, turned on her, and so then the whole show was, like, a theme. It was Angel Blue versus this 10-year-old boy.
Wow, but, that's great.
They had a great match. Fucking Leva did, like, a dive off to the ring on Angel Blue, like, right next to me. That was the first time some of the chairs got taken out. And then they had a really good match. And I was worried her Leva's costume was going to, like, really screw her around because it was like, basically like a cape or like a robe kind of thing.
Right.
But, you know, she didn't blow too many spots. I knew you'd get on her for that. But, yeah, it was a good match and good heat. I mean, the match had so much heat because of Angel Blue, and everyone's just chanting like all kinds of fucking shit at her. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
they had a good match and it was pretty good. And I guess it was a rematch from the finals of last year or the semifinals.
Probably.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't the finals, because I know Leva Bates
all,
did go to the finals.
No, they were all
year.
In it. Yeah, they were all in it, though, last year.
But, yeah, it was a rematch from last year. I wouldn't remember if she was in the final. I'd be like, no way, 2 years in a row. But I know she didn't go to the finals. So that would be first or second round rematch.
But, it was a great match. And then after the match, and everyone was going to be, I'm a fucking Mark here, or fucking Shimmer Stalker. But I got this buddy of mine who's an artist, and his thing is he'll get like a photo or a portrait, and he can like go trace it and make it more into like a drawing kind of. And he made me one of Leva that I took to WrestleMania this year, where she was the Joker. And I think on the if you watch the band video, that you might even see me like pull it out. But I gave her that at WrestleMania, and then I gave her and Mia like these. He drew like a pictures of them as the tag champs. That was black and white, but the titles were in colored in. So this time he made this fucking giant poster of X-Men of Days of Futures Past with like all the characters. It's an incredible photo poster. So I had him ship that to me, and I just got it like maybe a couple days before the show, and it's in the tube that you know you ship shit in. I don't know what the fuck they call it, but. So when she's getting out of the ring right in front of me. I was going to give it because I was supposed to have dinner with her and Jack after, but since she was getting out right in front of me, I just lifted it up, and she's like, is that for me? And I was like, yeah. And then the next thing I know, she, like, took a fucking toquet on me and just started, like, giving me a big hug and shit. I was kind of like, okay, well, that worked out very well.
So Leva Bates advanced. Then we got Jessica James defeated Miss Dyslexia by submission.
Yeah, that was, I didn't know what to expect. Like I said, I wasn't familiar with them. Jessica James seems to have, like, she's kind of like a badass gimmick or something. Miss Dyslexia, she's got, like, a lot of piercings everywhere. It was kind of, there was a little comedy because Miss Dyslexia kept doing a drop down, you know, she wanted Jessica James to jump over her, but every time she did it, James just stopped and looked at her. And she just kept doing it, so it got to the point where it was just fucking hilarious. But they had a decent match. It was more of a showcase for Jessica James to get over, but Miss Alexia did a good job. And yeah, I got more than I expected because I figured that would be the weakest match. But they held their own with all the other matches.
Yeah, Jessica James, like one of the veterans of ACW, and she's been around pretty much forever, it seems. And Miss Alexia is newer to the scene, but. Jessica James got the victory.
Yeah.
And, moving on, we had Sue Young defeated Candice LeRae in a first-round match, and it was also for the ACW American Joshi Championship that Sue Young currently holds.
I figured because Candice and Athena had this awesome match for WrestleMania weekend, so I kind of figured that was going to be the rematch in the finals.
All right.
So. And then, especially when you bring Candice LeRae in, of all people, you figure she's going to go further into the tournament.
Yeah.
But they had the match, and Sue Young's awesome. She's pretty funny, too. She's not as, like, crazy as Angel Blue, but she's real subtle about her comedy. Every time, she didn't say too much, but when she did, it just had me, like, rolling. And, she gets better and better. I mean, you know, she's a... Every time I watch Shine, I just see, like, all the improvement in her, and I just think she's really good.
She's one of the girls, she works like everywhere, man, all over the country, and she does different gimmicks everywhere too, you know.
Did you see Did you see the last Shine?
I didn't watch it out of protest. I'm sure you know why.
Well, no. Well, I'm sure you heard about her new abused puppy gimmick.
Actually
she's treated like an abused puppy.
Yeah, yeah. I have. It's funny because I think we were talking on Twitter, and I mentioned that I saw her gimmick change starting back from when she lost that first match to Solo Darling when she was doing, like, the Shark Girl.
Yeah.
And then the next week she won, and she was more aggressive, and then she fought Mercedes, and she was really more aggressive. And I could just see it building, and when she made that turn, I knew she was doing it. But, she's more like of a bad girl, pretty girl, you know what I mean, in ATW. And she started twerking a little bit, so I mean, like, can't complain about that. But they had a really good match. I mean, they did a spot where she drew out Su Yung, and she's, like, right next to me, and she did, like, four fucking topes right in a row.
Wow.
The first one, her knees hit the fucking chair rowdy stuff. I was like, oh, my God, I don't think she's going to get up. But she popped up, got back in, boom, 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 hit, like, four of them. Chairs were mangled. It was crazy. People were fighting over which ones they could have to sit on because some of them were, like, unsuitable after a while. And Candice is really awesome. The first time I saw her was Mania. And she's really good. You know, I had heard so much about PWG, and I don't really see a lot of PWG. I know what's going on pretty much all the shows and everything. I just don't see it, but yeah, she was pretty good. I kept looking around to see if Joey was there, but he wasn't at the show. But they had a good match, and Sue's in the same group with Angel Blue, the business. So their manager and JoJo Bravo came out, and Angel Blue came out, and made a lot of interference. And so they helped Su Yung get the win over Candice. And it wasn't the last we saw Candice, but yeah, I was kind of shocked because I was expecting more. I was kind of in shock when I saw the matchup because I was like, really, you're going to take one of them out in the first round?
Yeah.
You know, but as far as how it worked, yeah, it worked out. But yeah, they had a good match. Candice is, that's a beautiful girl. I mean, she can work, man. And Su Yung, she's a great heel, you know, so it was a thumbs up for that match.
I agree with everything you said. Like, Candice LeRae is fantastic, and
they stick to their on their tournaments. They stick with their
regulars. You know, when you're going to do a tournament, coach, somewhere along the way, you want to get a couple of your locals over against talent you bring in. But I was surprised, like you said, that Candice LeRae lost in the first round. But once they set her up with Su Yung, it was like, well, she either winning the belt in her debut or going down.
Nah,
in the first round.
That's why I knew way she ain't dropping the belt. I figure I would have took Su Yung.
But so Su Yung advances and retains the title. Go ahead. You were going to say something?
No, I coughed. I'm sorry.
ACW Tag Team titles, Paul London and Darren Childs retain the titles, defeating the NWA Australian Tag Team champions Chris Target and The Shark when Childs pinned Target and London pinned The Shark at the same time. How are these NWA Australian Tag Team champions?
This was actually a pretty good match. It was pretty long. And the Target kind of reminds me of Bobby Dempsey a little because he's a chubby white guy with long, curly blonde hair. he looks a little more athletic than Bobby does, but he was a good-sized guy. Paul Lennon's partner was also a big guy. And it was a real fun match. There were spots where just London was just chopping the shit out of the other two guys. And they were the one that Target went from being tasty to being fucking red by the end of the match. But it was a good match. Like, they fall in and he worked his ass off. They got the heat on him for, like, a long time. I was impressed by the Australian guys. They had a lot of, personality, you know what I mean? They were good. I was impressed. And like I said earlier, you know, that Paul brought in that little boy. When Angel Blue came out, they were still yelling at each other and stuff on the last match. But this time he got to be, you know, a little second for Paul London and them. But it was good, man. I was very impressed with the Australian dudes. I think they come like once a year to the States and do a tour.
Good to hear. I've never heard of them before. I'm interested in seeing them now.
Didn't you say that one of them was a trainee of Lance Storm?
I didn't get to ask Target if he was, but the Shark guy, you think the Shark would be the bigger one. He was actually the smaller one. He was telling me that he was, we were having dinner, and I asked him, I go, you know, there's this other Landstorm student that's kind of well-known, Carl Cannon. I go, you know Carl Cannon? He's all, yeah, we both went to Atlanta school, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know, that's just a buddy of mine and stuff. So, talked to him a little bit.
Interesting. I guess Paul London's living somewhere in Texas now that he's working all these ACW shows.
I imagine he's in Austin because I think that's where he's originally from, is like Austin,
right.
I think.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Then we have the ACW Hardcore Championship as champion Barrett Brown retained the title, defeating Absolute Ricky Starks by submission.
This was a good match. It started off kind of slow. It wasn't very hardcore the first, like, 5 or 6 minutes, but then they started beating the crap out of each other. There was an awesome spot where Ricky gave the guy a tombstone on a chair, and I thought that was a finish, but it wasn't. But, yeah, they went a long time. They beat the fuck out of each other, and I enjoyed it. There was no match that I didn't enjoy. That's what I was really surprised about, because, like I say, you know, you get a lot of sucky shit at indie shows when you go to them.
Right, definitely. Yeah, Barrett Brown we're fans of, and we talked about Ricky Starks earlier. So we get to the semifinals, and it was Leva Bates against Athena, and what I thought was a huge surprise of the night, Leva Bates defeated Athena to advance to the finals.
Yeah, she came out this time. She's still Maleficent, but she didn't have as much makeup on. It was more, now she was going more for the Angelina Jolie look. And they had a great match. There was like a stage to the side, and they were fighting on the stage and knocking the shit out of each other. They had a really good match. I think Leva was doing like a little suitable heel a little bit. Not a lot, but, you know, you have to have someone do that in a match.
Yeah.
And they were having a good back-and-forth match, you know. Athena looked great the whole show. And Leva did pretty good. What ended up happening is the business came back out, and they just kept interfering, and they jumped in the ring. But they didn't go after Leva. They went after Athena.
Right.
They, too young, like, hit Athena with her, like, I don't know what the name of the move is yet, but she, like, hit her big move on Athena, and then that allowed Leva to get the match. And then they got Leva out, and then they were, like, still beating up Athena, and then the referee was like, okay, well, we'll get to the next match. And then it was like, right now, you know?
Yeah.
And then they brought out Jessica James, and they had a really good match. It might have been the Alexia and that match was like probably the weakest of the all, but it was good. But this one was probably the second weakest, but it was still good. But basically, the business kept interfering once again. Angel Blue's out there, you know, getting in JoJo Bravo. And they ended up helping Sue beat Jessica, and she put her on like a crossface, and then she's already out, and the referee goes to check, and Sue Young's right in front of her, she's like, she's dead, I killed her. And it was a good match, man. It was a good match, and like I say, it was just constant interference. You know, it's like. So I had me thinking Leva's going to win because of the way Sue's advancing, you know, with all the help.
Oh, exactly. All the run-ins, more storyline to really match. So Sue Young once again successfully defended her title and advanced to the final. But before that, we had the Young Guns Under 30 Championship as Jeffrey Gant successfully retained his title, defeating Sky De La Cremosa by pinfall.
Yeah, this match, like I said, once again, wasn't familiar. The guy who was a champion, he's a tiny dude, but in good shape. And the other guy was kind of fucking big old beer belly on him. But he wasn't too bad. And that would probably be the weakest of the guy matches. And then it ended where, I guess, the fatter guy's ex-tag team partner came and attacked him. And I guess that allowed the champion. I don't know their names to win.
Jeffrey.
And but it was a decent match. I mean, it was like, I guess it was the weakest one. Nothing really too special about it.
Right. Long show, man. It seems like they had 18 million matches on this thing, too.
Yeah, it was a long show. It was like afternoon. Well, no, it was like 6 when I got there, so the sun was out. But, you know, it went on until, I don't know, maybe almost 11, maybe? Like 5 hours?
5 hours.
Maybe a little less than that, but yeah, they were there for a while.
Hope they didn't run out of beer.
In the semi-main event, the ACW Heavyweight Championship was on the line when the champion, the infamous Sean Vex, defended against Jason Silver and defeated him by pinfall to retain the title.
Yeah. That Silver, he does, like, I guess he's doing, like, a Lost Boy vampire gimmick. He's in great shape. He's ripped the shred. They had a good match. The champion, he came off like a kind of like a poor version of Dujak, kind of. He's, you know, cussing on his promos and stuff, but he was working. And they fought everywhere, and it was a good match, and the champion won. And no complaints on that one.
And before we get to the main event, here's the one issue I have when we watch their shows. Like, the show starts in the daylight, and then it gets dark out as the show goes on.
Oh.
And by the end of the night on the DVD, you can't even really see what's going on in the ring. Did they have, like, a lot of lighting for this show, or is it dark?
They did, actually. They did, because I was trying to take some pictures of Vivo when she came out at the end, and you got that big-ass light kind of screwing it up. But, as far as being there, I saw everything. I don't know how it come out on video. They only had a guy with a little camcorder.
Yeah, I'm hoping, because like I said, I haven't seen anything since last summer there's on their DVD. So I'm hoping by now that they improved that.
The last one was real dark when it got to the night.
Well, I hope they light it up, because I definitely want to get this DVD. I got to see this show again. I'm going to fucking try and get Brian and Vinny to review it.
So in the finals, for the 2014 American Joshi Queen of the Queens and the ACW American Joshi Championship, Sue Young defended against Leva Bates.
Yeah, this time Leva came out as Maleficent in her, like, battle gear, so she had, like, an all-black bodysuit, kind of, and then she had the giant-ass black wings, and when she came in the ring, she got on the top turnbuckle, and then she started doing the Stone Cold beer-drinking gimmick, which I'll get to this little side story about drinking a little later after we run it down. So there's a little controversy backstage at the show, but she did that, and then, of course, Sue Young came out. She came out with Angel Blue and Jojo Bravo and the manager, and they start having a match. And once again, there's constant interference. And then it's funny because, like, Sue threw her little Pikachu hat, and I guess somehow, I guess she threw it at that little boy. So the little boy is holding it, and, like, Angel Blue comes and, like, snags it, and they start going at it, at each other, yelling. And she just gives him the little finger right to his face. And she's like, fuck you, you little faggot. Everyone was like, what the fuck is going on?
Sounds like this little boy is the star of the show.
he was, man. He was involved. Like I say, it was like a whole show-long angle. Him and Angel Blue just talking the shit to each other. It wasn't very PG, too, man. So, but, yeah, it was awesome. But they kept interfering, so Candice LeRae and Jessica James came out, and They beat up Angel Blue and Jojo Bravo. And then Leva had Jack Jameson in her corner. And something happened where, like, there were a bunch of them were in the ring, and Jack forgot to do something because Angel Blue was supposed to do something to him, but he missed his spot. So Angel just didn't miss a beat, and she just kicked him right in the balls. And she kicked him fucking hard in the balls. He went down hardcore. But, yeah, there's kept interference with Candice and Jessica James, even the score. That's when I kind of figured Liva was kind of going to win, but she went to the top, and the manager pushed her off. And then Sue hit, like, her big move, but Liva was able to kick out, you know, it's like the false finish kicked out, and then Sue put her on her submission, and then she ended up getting the submission, and my heart was broken and devastated. So then they got Leva out of the ring. So then Sue's cutting a promo, you know, just talking about how awesome she is and stuff. And Athena comes around the back, and she's wearing, like a Pikachu costume, like one of those fucking bathrobes or something, but it's Pikachu.
Yeah.
And she hits like a swanton from the top rope on her, and then she beats the shit out of her, and she says she's, you know, going to kick her ass and take the Joshi title next time. And it was a pretty good show. It was like I say, it was. I thought it was both excellent. You know, even though it was kind of surprising how the matchup order was, but yeah, Sue Young and Leva had an awesome match. They were fighting again right next to me. They constantly were like coming out to my side, so that was pretty cool. I got a few decent pictures. Unfortunately, I didn't have my really good camera; I just had my camera phone. But yeah, it was great, man. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. You know, I mean. I can't go, like I say, I work on Sundays.
Yeah.
But when that Inspire show comes, I'm still on vacation. So I'm going to definitely go to see that one. After the show, you know, Candace was selling gimmicks and Leva was selling gimmicks and they were kind of like to the side. So I got to meet Candace and talk to her for a few minutes. She's a real nice girl. Take a picture. And I got to talk to Leva for a while. And then, like I say, I was supposed to, you know, like originally when I posted that thing, I was like, I'll buy you dinner if you get Leva here. So, you know, I told him I'd buy that guy dinner. But unfortunately, he was, by the end of the show, he was in no condition to perform or go to dinner. So they basically, Leva had some of the guys take him home and she kept his car. So they sent him home because he was just out of it. There's different stories. Some people think he just went and got shit-faced during the show. And his story is that a fan spiked his drink. And I was with him when he had asked a fan or a fan said they were going to get him a drink. So, you know, it's plausible. I'm not going to say no. The guy's a good guy, so I'm not going to call him a liar. But some of the other talent thinks he just got drunk, you know. So, but he's a good dude. I hope he doesn't get any, like, heat for it. But, yeah, so he wasn't able to go to the dinner. So I was like, man, am I still going to be able to hang out, you know. But Leva was like, yeah, don't worry. We'll go out to dinner. So I talked to her, and she didn't rose for a while after the show. And then we went to a gym's, which is, I don't know if you have gyms. They're like a Denny's or IHOP, 24 hours.
Right.
So then, yeah, so then I just had that. I had dinner with Leva and Jenny, and Angel Blue was there. Sue Young was there, but she was on the other side of the table, so I didn't get to talk to her too much. Miss Alexia was there. The refs were there. The Australian dudes were there. It was a cool time. You know, it was awesome. I really got to know Leva quite a bit, you know, and Jenny Rose, and it was a cool time, man. I had a good time, and I really love Mia Yam, so I'm hoping I can go out and hang out with them after the show and have dinner with them after that Inspire show. So
that's right,
you know, that kind of, it was a great night. I mean, it was actually a great weekend, because that weekend too, I got to go to UFC for free and everything in San Antonio, so.
Wow.
Yeah,
you did.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last thing.
It sounds like you did have a good weekend. Free UFC on top of it.
Yeah. So yeah, it was great, man. I you said there was the DVDs are behind, but whenever they come out, if you like women's wrestling, I strongly suggest you get it, because it had a lot of great wrestling. It also had a lot of craziness of Angel Blue and that little 10-year-old boy. It's worth it just to see Angel Blue versus the little boy.
Yeah,
you know, I'd pay $20 easily for that, no problem. But yeah, man, I'll definitely be going to next year's Queen of Queens tournament, that's for sure. And
there you have it, man. It'll be available on SmartMarkVideo.com eventually. Is there a little behind? I think they just put out the November show, so they're a good 7 months behind on their DVD.
Oh wow! Well, it'll be worth the wait. It really will be worth the wait. This is. I know you watch a lot of you watch all the indies and you watch the women's shit, and I think, bro, you'll highly, highly enjoy this show when you get to see it.
Oh, we'll see it.
Yeah, we always
we
get
watch
the,
every yeah we Joshi always
show
see Joshi.
The
Joshi. But, yeah, I kind of when I see your stuff on Twitter, it's like, man, I haven't even heard of this company that this dude's watching.
Well, if we're watching it, believe me, it's good.
The way it usually works. Too old for shitty wrestling, that's what I say.
Well, I know the feeling. That's why I don't go to a lot of the shows here. I don't even go to a lot of shows here in San Antonio. I've been to a few RCW shows, mainly because I'm friends with Trina Michaels, and she comes out and does RCW shows every once in a while.
Yeah.
And
who, Trina?
Yeah.
Yeah, Trina.
You're not friends with Larry Dallas, are you?
Bringing some people and stuff.
No, I don't. I'm not friends with Larry Dallas.
Thank God. No, thank God. Isn't it?
But yeah, I know Trina quite a bit. I've gone out with Trina before, and she's awesome. She's a sweetheart. And it breaks my heart because I know Trina and the little Bates are feuding in FIP, and I don't know who to cheer for.
Before we let you go, why don't you tell everybody about your podcast that you're co-host of?
Okay, I've been doing my show for, I'm almost at 300 episodes.
Wow.
So,
300?
Yeah, it's been a,
wow.
It's basically two different shows, though, because it started off with me and the Peach Machine, who, he doesn't like me for me to tell people this, but are you guys familiar with Ryan Nash?
No.
Okay, he was a shitty indie wrestler back in the day in IWA and San Luis. He's Evan Bourne's best friend. But, yeah, he was a shitty wrestler, but he became my co-host. And we had a great run when he was on the show because he fucking knew everybody. Like, we had, you know how, like, WWE guys aren't supposed to do podcasts? Well, we had Evan Bourne multiple times, and we had Alicia Fox
right
after WrestleMania in Houston. So that really helped, you know, kind of get my show a little momentum and stuff. And then he knew everybody from ROH because he's also a diet guy, and he does the diets for everybody. So, you know, I've had Daniel Bryan, I've had Cesaro on a bunch of times. I've had pretty good list of who's been on the show. And, you know, we get Lance on all the time. And he ended up leaving after a year. He just burnt out on it. It was a lot of work getting all the guests and having to deal with me, but bugging them to get guests. So then I was joined by Contreras, and Contreras is like a living wrestling encyclopedia. He sounds like he just walked out of the swamp. He's so southern with his accent, but he knows everything. And then we got Craig, who's now part of one of the Brian and Vinny shows.
Right.
And Craig's pretty cool, but he's constantly getting appalled by the shit we have me and Couture talk about. But we do a good, you know, we have a good show. We get guests. We do a lot of theme shows. Like, we'll do, like, you know, a show based on, like, best hardcore wrestler, just different themes, you know. That's kind of our specialty when we do those. And we do our show Friday nights at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, blogtalkradio.com/Couture. You can always hear us on angrymarks.com. And I always post links on the board at F4W Wrestling Observer. And it's a pretty good show. Give us a listen. We're doing a Vegas recap show this Friday, so there's not going to be too much wrestling, and I guess there'll be some UFC talk, but it's mostly I'm going to get a lot of the guys that were there, and we're going to talk about our adventures in Vegas, and I do that like once a year. But, yeah, you know, check it out. It's a pretty good show. I'm pretty sure people will enjoy it. You know, like I say, we do all, you know, we either do news or we do like theme shows or we do get guests, and, I'm going to start hitting up Court Bauer a little more. He promised me he'd hook me up. And I really don't like, you know, asking people more than like every once in a while, but he told me not to worry about it. So I'm going to start hitting him up. So we should start getting more of the Ring of Honor guys on the show. And I'm trying to get fucking Kevin Von Erich on my show. Anyone who's ever listened to my show knows I'm the biggest Von Erich mark in the whole world. And I got to go through his PR person and she's not making it easy, but I'm not giving up. So in a week here, I'm going to try and get him back on the show because I think I could really deliver, like, the greatest Kevin Von Erich interview ever just because, you know, I lived through that whole world-class heyday thing and saw everything. And well, my only concern is I'd probably start crying like a bitch during the show. I love you. I love you, brother. You know, and
Did you happen to see him on the TNA pay-per-view?
No, because that was wasn't that game 5 of the finals? I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, it was the same night.
Yeah. So,
but it's out.
I put the Spurs over Kevin, but I'm definitely going to try and find it online and check it out. I heard he did a great job.
Oh my God, the crowd frigging goes nuts. Totally bonkers, man. You're going to think you're a little kid again.
Oh, I bet. I bet, man, because, you know, I still remember shit from, like, fucking 40 years. Well, not 40. I'm not that old, but 35 years ago, I can still tell you, like, what happened in certain matches. One of my biggest memories is I only got to see Ric Flair do one-hour Broadway dance, and I got to see him do it live with David Von Erich.
Yep.
In San Antonio, so
wow,
it was awesome. Yeah.
I read about that. I never saw it.
Yeah, it was great, man. I remember the first Michael Hayden's first appearance in World Class was actually at a show here in San Antonio where he cut a promo, and I was like, why is he a baby face? You know, because he'd been a heel in Georgia and Mid South, but I should have realized right away that, you know, something was going to happen, and you know, when they slammed that cage door, that fucking territory just became, for like 2 to 3 years, it was the best wrestling in the world. And
yeah, man.
I'm biased, but I stand by that,
Like, we were stuck up here in Pennsylvania with the slow WWE guys.
but we did get to get, world class, though.
Yeah, and they did a show out there, a couple shows out there, too, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think there were, and then, like, when they cut off Gino and Cruz's hair, I think there were, like, some DJs from Philadelphia that actually got to take some snippets off of them, too.
It's possible. I don't remember, though.
I remember reading about it.
But all right, man, we appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us. This has been really fun, man.
No problem, man. No problem. If you want me to get with me after that Inspire show, I'll let you know what happened on that.
Yeah, definitely. We'll hook it up, man. Yeah. We'll have you back on in a few weeks. We'll talk Inspire Pro Wrestling.
Real good, yeah.
As they just hooked up with Smart Mark Video, too, so their shows will be available through them.
Yep.
Okay. And if anyone wants to know information about the Vegas trip we were talking about earlier, or hitting up with like guys from the Observer website at WrestleMania, my email address is f4wfan@hotmail.com. Hit me up, I'll get you. I'll let you know what's going on or what we do and shit. And that's a pretty good time we always have. Like at WrestleMania, I mean, it was spread out through different events, but there we met over like, I don't know, 100, 150 people from the website out there.
That's cool, man.
And,
wow.
Even got the, after WrestleMania, we got drunk on Frenchman Street, and the last bar we went to, we ran into my favorite from NXT, It's Bailey, CJ Parker, Tyler Breeze, Mojo Riley, Roderick was there. Roderick was fucking drunk off his ass like always. Phil Calval, Adam Cole, a couple other people. Like I say, you come to these shows and there's always some, experience with some of the different wrestlers. You know, that's one thing that we get real lucky about. So it adds to, the events and stuff. So, yeah, hit me up if you're interested in that, and I'll let you know what's going on. And we will party in WrestleMania or in Vegas.
There you have it, man. We thank you for coming on. Email Ed if you want to become part of the Figure Four Empire Wrestling Observer Conventions, man, every year at WrestleMania and first week or second week in July in Las Vegas, man.
Well, actually, next year, because the 4th of July is on Saturday next year, and I'm kind of glad this is happening. UFC doesn't want to run the show on the 4th of July, so they're doing it the next week.
Yeah.
So it's going to be on the 10th, so that means it's going to be cheaper. That means airfare is going to be cheaper, hotels are going to be cheaper, so... It's going to work out. So next year it's around the weekend of the 10th. So, yeah, it's going to be party central. And then, like I say, Dave wants to take a bigger part and do like a giant Q&A at the banquet. So, it's going to rock.
Sounds like a man. Thanks again. We appreciate you being here. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right, man. You guys have a good night.
You too.
You too, bud.
See ya.
Take it easy. Okay, we're going to go straight to the next one. The next one is about 58 minutes, and we got 46 minutes of live airfare. So it's not all going to fit on the live show, but it will be on the download. So check out the download. You'll get it all. So let's go ahead and go straight to the next one.
And now, joining us on the show, the one and only from San Antonio himself, it's Ed in San Antonio. What's going on?
Not too much, guys. I'm just trying to enjoy the night and relax a little bit before I got to go to work tonight. The last time I talked to you guys, I was like halfway through my 5-week vacation. And unfortunately, that's over, and I'm 3 days back to work. And my body's basically telling me, fuck you, don't do that again. It wasn't ready to go back to work.
Goddamn, 5-week vacation, man. Holy shit.
Well, actually, I got enough seniority to where I get 4 weeks vacation, but I knew I was going to miss, like, the week before, I was going to miss Sunday to go see the Queen of Queens show, and then I was going to miss the Wednesday before the 4th of July to make sure I get done with everything for the problems with getting on the plane on time, and I knew I was going to miss those 2 days, and then I was like, after Sunday, I was like, fuck it, I'm just not going to go in. I'm not going to be in trouble when I come back. It'll be so long. So I was like, I turned 4 weeks into 5 weeks.
That's awesome. I'll be gone so long they won't even remember.
Yeah. Well, technically, let's say they want a UPS, if they want to write me up for anything, they have 2 weeks to do it. So So by the time I came back, it was a moot point because it had already been 2 weeks.
Awesome, man.
Wow.
So 2 weeks ago, you made the trip back to Austin, Texas, and took in an Inspire Pro Wrestling show, and you're here to tell us all about it.
Yeah, that was a pretty damn good show, man. I was actually impressed by pretty much everything about the show, especially the venue. This is one of the best venues I think I've ever seen an indie show at. It was at, I forgot the name of it, but it's at some theater.
Yeah.
So basically, when you walk in, you know, there's a big lobby, and there's a big-ass round bar right in the middle of it. And as soon as I walked in, like, the line was pretty much to the front door. So I got in there. And then right off the bat, within, like, 30 seconds, here comes Leva and Solo out of the bathroom. So I got to see them, talk to them right when I got there. And it's pretty cool because everyone starts looking at me like, why are they all friendly with him? And anyway, you go to, it's a nice lobby, and then you go through that lobby, and then there's like a little tiny hall before you get to the actual auditorium area. And then this little hall, there's a wall, and it's got the coolest thing, dude. It's like a, the whole wall is a bunch of vinyl covers of just really cool shit. Like a lot of them were soundtracks, like Urban Cowboy or American Graffiti. So they got all these vinyl albums just making, you know, covering this wall, and it's cool as shit. There was some really cool old shit, like shit from the 70s and maybe early 80s, you know, just all kinds of awesome. I didn't take a picture. I should have, but, man, it was actually pretty damn cool.
Huh. That's awesome. Well, we did was we actually watched, they just put out a show through Smart Mark Video, so we watched it last night. And watching the show on DVD, we said the same thing. Like, man, looks like a really cool venue they run.
Yeah.
Like, the main part of it was basically like a big square. High-ass roof. I've been to shows here where you dudes can't even do high spots because they can't involve the top rope, you know, without taking out, like, a lighting grid or something. So they got all these high-ass wall and all these, I'm telling you, it was like the most well-lit fucking indie show I ever been to. I mean, it was really nice. They had the stage on one side, and on the stage, that's where they had, like, the dude who played the music and some other people, and they had the entrance where it's, like, curtained off, you know, so they're coming through the curtain. And then they have this, like, I guess a board's not really the right way to describe it, but they got this fucking, like, plank that goes from the stage to the ring. So they're walking, they walk on that to the ring, so they're already way above everybody. So, like, it actually makes them look, like, more like stars, I guess, in a way, because the ring is really high. It's a really high ring. And so they come out through there, so it's like everyone's always looking up and, you know, got the good view of them. And the ring was pretty huge. The crowd seemed like it was pretty much packed for what they had seating for. And I did notice there wasn't any mats around the ring, and I'll get back to that when I get to one of the matches later. But yeah, it was a really nice show. I was very impressed by it. I mean, it was really cool.
And we had the same thoughts watching the DVD. That real nice sized crowd, nice venue, and it was shot really well too. So they seem like they got a good thing going on.
They must have been set up differently, though.
Yeah, they didn't have a ramp from the stage on the show we watched, so that's got to be like a new thing they're doing.
Oh, okay, well, maybe, but like I say, to me it worked because it made it look like a bigger, it made them look like more of a bigger deal than they are.
Yeah, I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
So it opened up with Gigolo James Johnson winning a Mystery Prize 6-man elimination match.
Okay, this match was actually, it was pretty fun. I had no idea what the fuck was going on. Okay, because, you know, I'm not familiar with most of these dudes. The dude who won, Gigolo James Johnson, this dude was actually pretty good, had some nice moves, but basically he was a short, pasty, chubby, white kid. He looked like the friend from Kick-Ass. I swear to God, that's who I thought was at first. I mean, You look at this dude and you think he's not a wrestler, let alone he can have some moves, and he was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then they had, I marked out for Big Time because I didn't put it together when I saw the flyer on who it was, but they had him listed as Mad Dog Ken Johnson. I knew him as Gorilla Ken Johnson. He was a jobber in Southwest Championship Wrestling. He helped train Shawn Michaels a little bit.
Really?
And had some of Shawn's first matches. And this dude was old 30 years ago.
Wow. I don't believe he was on the show.
Yeah, so he goes out, he's got like, he looks like a freaking great-grandpa. Uh-huh. That's like Bruiser Brody for Halloween with a chain and some like
wow.
It's the furry boots and like the vest thing, you know, the furry vest and
that's cool.
He did like remember when Superfly Snuka was in that Royal Rumble and he stood in the middle of the ring and ran wild without moving?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what he did like a couple times where, you know, everybody came to him and he cleaned house. But he was okay. I got a kick out of that. But as far as, like, the rest of the match, it was hard to follow because it was everything was going on. And then they were on the other side of the ring, and these two black guys, I guess a tag team or whatever, they jumped one of the guys, and I couldn't see who they jumped, but you could see that they were, like, beating the shit out of the dude. And then some other guy who looked like El Hijo, the Bastion Booger, I swear to God, just a real short, the Scarecrow from Batman, just, like, 300-pound version.
Yeah.
He's got, like, a burlap sack over his head.
Yeah, we saw him on the TV watch.
Yeah, and so they start going at it. Him and this fat dude start going at it pretty good. And it's just like a crazy elimination match. And at the end, it was kind of weird because it came down to that gigolo. And I don't know, maybe it was a void. It was just some guy in a mask. And the guy in the mask took, like, this, looked like he took, like, a weird bump. And he just laid there with his, like he looked like he was, his arms were kind of straight up, like bent at the elbows, but straight up, kind of like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And it kind of looked like he got hurt for real or whatever, because Gigolo was like, he looked like he was going to do a move, but then he just decided to pin him. And then when he pinned him, he won. And then they basically, one of the girls that wrestled later, Delilah Doom and Keith Lee come out. And it's funny because remember back in the day you're at school and you're going to watch a movie, they bring that square fucking cart that's got the TV up here. And the VCR. Okay, well they push one of these fuckers out. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So then they put on a video, and it's the manager of Sue Young and Angel Blues Group in ACW. I don't know what his name is, but they're the business or whatever.
Yeah.
So Keith Lee basically puts the fucking microphone to the TV while this dude's setting the promo on the TV. And basically the mystery prize is that you got to join his stable. So now Gigolo James, who was a good guy, is now part of this bad group. And then the guy who had the mask on, he took his mask off, and apparently it was, you know, one of the wrestlers in the group. He kind of looked like a Lou Perez.
All right.
But yeah, he was, so basically, you know, that, and that kind of became a storyline because these guys fought a few other times with their other wrestlers. You know, you had Gigolo, like, trying to stop the other guy from interfering or and stuff like that. But, it was a fun match, man. Seeing Ken Johnson fucking with his gray hair and old body fucking running rough shots for a little bit, that made my day.
That's something.
Did you mean Al Perez and not Lou Perez?
Well, there was a Lou Perez, but they both kind of looked alike. But he looked a little more like Lou Perez, like a little heavier version.
Yeah.
Lou Perez is out of Florida.
Yeah, I remember Florida him very well. I mean, Al was obviously a lot more successful, but I remember Lou.
Yeah.
So then we had the wrestling goddess Athena taking on Cat Green.
This was actually really good. I'm not familiar with Cat Green. She's a cute girl. She's real thin, like real thin.
Yeah.
And they had a good match. Sabina's always good. And Athena hit, I don't even know what the move was, but it looked so badass. It got like a pretty loud, awesome chant. And it was actually a long match. I thought Cat Green, she looked a little green, but she was pretty good. I was actually impressed by it. I would probably say this was the third or fourth best match of the night. And I noticed one thing, like, after the show, because I was waiting to hang out with the girl, was that, like, you know, Leva and Mia and them are selling their gimmicks, and then, you know, the rest of the wrestlers are there or breaking down, you know, the ring or whatever. I noticed that this chick made sure she went to every single person who was associated with the show and shake their hand and, you know, say goodbye. So I thought that was actually pretty cool of her to do that. So she seemed like real respectful.
Yeah, we've seen her on the show we watched. She was on a 3-on-1 handicap match. So she was mostly selling most of the way, but she seemed like she had potential.
Yeah, she. There was some discussion after at dinner, because I think she took Athena's big move and took a bump out of the ring, and they were kind of wondering if Athena was going to get pissed off, because she's supposed to be like real protective of her big move. But the way it looked like to me, it looked like she bumped out of the ring, so it didn't look like she just like took it and then just didn't want to get beat with it or whatever. But
right,
that was kind of a discussion. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
And Athena ended up winning with an STF-style submission.
Yeah.
So next up, we had a tag team encounter. The Hollywood Knives of Steve Reno and Bradley Axel Dawson defeated Steel Money Industries of Kenny Steele and Payday.
This is another good match, man. The Steel Money, they're both kind of short dudes, but those dudes are, like, put together and jacked. I mean, their bodies, they got really good physique. And then the Hollywood Knives, when they came out, they had like those Egyptian headgear, like a Ophidian? Or
yes, like that's exactly what we said. They look like Ophidian.
Yeah, I was like, what are these guys? They're like the poor versions of Ophidian and the other dude.
I swear, we said the same exact thing.
And I could tell right off the bat that they were kind of charismatic guys, and they got in the ring, and everyone was like that. Steve was going to cut a promo, but the other guy kind of like took the microphone away and kind of like cut him off, and then he starts cutting a promo that he's going to give Steve the night off, and he's going to wrestle the whole match by himself, and everyone was chanting. I forgot what they were chanting, but everyone chanting at Steve. So Steve, he gets on the outside. This guy starts the match. They kick his ass, like, really quick, and then basically he gets thrown out, like, almost knocked out. So basically Steve had got tagged in and comes in. So he's going the whole match, and this guy's just on the outside out for, like, ever. And Steve just has to keep wrestling the whole match. And he's going back and forth with a few dudes. And finally, Bradley gets on. He crawls onto the apron, and Steve's still trying to make a tag, but he's still too out of it to reach or anything. And finally he gets, like, about halfway up, and Steve goes – kind of like leaning in to take a make a tag, and then he takes like a bump off the ring again to not make the tag, basically. So Steve has to keep going. The guys are in, and he's doing a good job. It was actually a good match. So finally, it's funny because I'm on the other side of the ring from where their corner is. So when that guy Bradley's on the outside, I can't see him. He's, you know, the ring's too high. So fucking Steve gets the pin. And I shit you not, the exact second the referee makes a three count, fucking Bradley jumps fucking straight in the air with his hands in the air like they just fucking won the biggest match in the history of their lives. I mean, just like perfect. I just didn't do next to me. We just started laughing. It was fucking hilarious. And then he gets in the ring like no problem, and he's fucking jumping and going crazy like he's, you know, not hurt anymore or whatever. And Bradley's kind of like, what the fuck? You know, got the look of like, you know, this fucking asshole. And then they go to leave, and then, like, Steve kind of stops halfway, and he goes back into the ring, and he shakes the other dude's hands, and the other guy's like, what are you doing? And then he just kind of walks by his partner, kind of disgusted. But it was, when he jumped up, dude, it was just, like, the fucking coolest thing, man. Just laughed my ass off.
Like, he just won the WWE Championship.
Yeah, dude. Perfect timing, dude. It's like, you kind of forgot about him, and then, boom, he's fucking, like, rocketing in the air.
Kind of like Bo Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. But he did it even better than Bo Dallas.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with the Hollywood Knives. I didn't think they were bad at all. That was the first time I ever seen
them. Yeah, they were good.
So then we had the Lia Doom taking on Solo Darling.
This match was okay. It wasn't great or anything. I think the Lia Doom, I think she's, from what I've remember talking to her, I think she's going to the, what's his name? Funaki's dojo.
All right.
And,
yeah, so I don't know if she's training, I don't know if it's here or in Austin, but it's one of the others. I know Funaki's from San Antonio, or it is in San Antonio. But she's kind of like, she reminds me of, remember way back in the day, in the early 80s, you'd have, like, the chicks that would dress like Madonna.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there'd always be one or two girls that dressed like Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
That's who she kind of, that's how she kind of, like, came off to me, because she's got, like, reddish hair, kind of crazy. It's kind of shaved over one ear. She's wearing, like, a real colorful outfit. Kind of looks like a cross between a tutu and a cheerleader skirt.
Yeah.
And she went to dinner after the show, dressed like that. She didn't change. But she seemed real nice. She's real green, though. Solo looks fantastic. She usually has, like long tights when I've seen her wrestle on Shine, but she had, like, real short shorts on here. And she pretty much carried the girl to a decent match. And, you know, Solo, I like Solo. To me, Solo is like the perfect opener for Shine.
Yes.
And she's got like a lot of charisma. She's a lot of fun. You know, she's has better comedy matches than, say, a serious match. You know, she's like can get the crowd going. So I like her at that for Shine. So, you know, I think she's got like a, she's tiny as hell. Dude. She barely comes up to my chest. She's so small.
Oh.
But she's got like, to me, she's got, like, one of the prettiest faces in all of wrestling. I mean, she's absolutely stunning. And when you see her close up, it's even more so. So, but it was, like I said, it was just an okay match. You know, she carried her, and then, like, she took, like, the girl's big move, and that was, like, she was knocked out, and it basically had to almost carry her up. And then when she was getting out of the ring, she, like, fell down on that little rampway again, just, like, totally. She put that girl's, like, finishing maneuver over big time.
Hmm. Yeah, and the Lie of Doom with the victory with the Bulldog.
Yeah.
And, I agree what you said about Solo Darling, 100%. Perfect opener at Shine, you know. And we've seen the Lie of Doom on the show we watched against Jessica James. And James carried her in that match. And for, like, for someone that hasn't been in the business too long, I bet she held her own pretty good in that, too. I think the Lie of Doom's got some potential.
Yeah, well, she got taken to school in that match.
Yeah.
Jessica James looks fucking fantastic.
Oh, I got a lot to say about Jessica James when we get to her match. But, yeah, like I say, she's still trained. She says she trains, like, once or twice a day still. So she's real green, but, you know, I mean, it was, you know, I'm not going to say she was bad. It's just, you know, Solo carried her, you know. I mean, it was evident. And, yeah.
So next up we had Keith Lee defeating Matt Riott.
All right, Keith Lee, he looks like a cross, like if you morph Mark Henry and Big E, you'd get Keith Lee. Because he's a fucking big, he looks like an offensive lineman. He's so wide.
Wow.
He's muscular, but like he's like one of those fat muscular guys.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he's just heavy, but he's fucking muscular. And they had him with a guy who must have weighed like 120 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that right? And he was decent, and it was a good little match, you know, the little man fighting like the giant, you know, and he just wouldn't give up, and finally he was killed, but he was killed. Keith Lee was throwing him around like fucking nothing, man. This dude I almost want to say he has WWE size. I just think he's too heavy for WWE, but I mean, the dude, I wouldn't start shit with the dude. I'd fucking run if he was pissed off at me. And he's pretty charismatic, you know. And then he came out with that Gigolo Joe and the other dude, the Luke Perez lookalike guy.
Jerry Ramone.
Okay, that's probably who it was, okay. But it was good. Like I said, like the one guy, he fought his heart out trying to, you know, knock down the giant and, he got killed by the end. And it was a perfect matchup because you fit the biggest dude with the littlest dude.
Right. Yeah, and the matches work out a lot because the big dude ends up being a base for the little dude to do his flippy moves. And when the bigger guy gets to do his power spots, it always looks awesome.
Yeah. Supposedly, the last show, he broke the ring.
Wow.
Holy shit.
And then the announcer, and then the announcer was actually pretty good. God, I can't think of his name. I talked to him a little bit after the show, but he was a good little ring announcer, and he started like checking the ring, like stepping around to make sure he didn't break it like this week and stuff. So.
Was it a dude with glasses and a mustache and like a beard?
Yeah, kind of. Did he have a ponytail? I think he had a ponytail.
I can't remember, but the guy we saw that did it, I thought he was pretty good too.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was the same guy because he talked about where like they were at a show somewhere, and Lance Hoyt got pissed off at him, didn't like how he introduced him and was threatening to kick his ass, and supposedly kind of been like threatening the guy, and the guy's like, look, you know, I don't want you to kick my ass. I'm sorry you didn't like this, and like next time you're back here, let's stream this out. You know, I'm not gonna run from you. Let's work this out. Kind of like setting something up for a future show, which. I wouldn't want to antagonize Lance Hoyt or Lance Archer. he's tearing it up in Japan right now.
Yeah. So Keith Lee ended up getting the victory with a sit-out powerbomb and a brainbuster over Matt Riot.
Yeah, I had seen Keith before. He's worked RCW. I think he even worked. I forgot who he worked, but it was when Foley came down and did the angle with Trina Michaels, and that's when I originally met Trina Michaels for the first time.
Right. I remember that. So then we had Gabe Roach against Thomas Shire.
Okay, now this was, to me, it was probably the weakest match on the show. But Gabe Roach, he came out, and you could tell he's doing like a shooter, like MMA shooter gimmick.
Right.
The way he's dressed, and he comes out with a manager who apparently is like it's one of the owners, I guess.
It's Jeremy Gregory Simmons.
He looks like a not so jacked up Lex Luger. Like facially hair, and he came out wearing a suit and shirt, you know, a tie, like those nice. And he I was like, God damn, he looks like a young Lex Luger and shit. And the other guy, Thomas Shire. He's just like a big raw, kind of like a big raw bone dude, not muscular, but good sized dude.
Yeah.
He was over with the crowd, so I'm guessing he's like one of their main guys.
Well, I know he works for Anarchy a lot.
Okay, yeah, I had never seen him, but he seemed like he was all right. So it wasn't that much of a match. It didn't go too long, and then like Roach kind of like pulled guard, and then he had. Apparently the finish was that he choked out Shire, but it was like Shire must like be the worst jiu-jitsu guy ever because he got choked out by a one-arm guillotine where the other arm was in the air and fucking around him. I'm just sitting there like, God damn, that's... I was just shaking my head at it, but people kind of bought it. And then like... And then there was something went down with like the owner and stuff. And then at the end, the guy Shire, I guess he told the other owner that he wants one more shot at this guy, and stuff. But yeah, to me that was the weakest match. But that guy Shire, he was over with the crowd, big time. It seemed like.
Yeah, I like Thomas Shire. Like I say he works for Anarchy a lot, which are obviously in the same town there in Austin. So that's probably why he's well known. I would assume.
He needs to work on his submission defense, though. That was
one arm.
So then next up, we had Jessica James taking on Miss Dyslexia and Casey Warfield in the XX Division Championship Tournament.
Okay, before this match started, they brought out Rachel Summerlin. I've heard a lot about Rachel. I know she wrestled like Anarchy, and she's like a Texas girl. But I had never seen her before.
Wow.
She's enjoying life after wrestling. You know, she's not working out as much as she used to. So I'll say she's a little heavier than she was, but she's still pretty for being a slightly bigger girl now. But she came in and she kept this really emotional promo, talking about like her. Started in Texas wrestling, thanking everybody, putting over Jessica James, and she was almost in tears cutting this promo. It was pretty good, actually. You know, you could tell it was real, you know.
Yeah.
So then Miss Alexia and Casey Warfield come out, and they came out with Paige Turner, who's doing like a library of gimmicks.
Yeah, the
like,
bookmarks.
Yeah.
The bookmarks, that was great. I got a kick out of that.
Yeah, that's what they were called, the bookmarks. They're like her, like, librarian assistants.
How'd you like the sweaters? Were they wearing them?
They were,
sweaters?
They were wearing sweaters, and then this Dyslexia was basically wearing, like, this kind of, like, little skirt underneath with, like, a thong, so she was showing off her ass pretty much all night long.
All night.
Yeah. But so they come out and they start cutting like a, you know, they, you know, start being bitches and, you know, talking shit to Rachel Summerlin. So then Jessica James comes out and she gets the mic and she actually cut a pretty good promo on the three chicks. And, you know, how dare they, like, say anything to her? You know, she's a legend and you guys aren't shit. Like she said, basically, like they weren't shit. They nothing to her. And, you know, they just kind of went back to poor. So then they started the match. And I guess it was like a three-way, but at first I kind of thought it was a handicap match because, you know, basically it was her against the two bookends.
Right.
So the first thing they do is like a test of strength where Jessica James, she's with her right arm, she's doing Miss Dyslexia, and with her left arm, she's doing Casey Warfield. And so they overpowering her at first, and then they kind of push her back into the corner. And she climbs the ropes, you know, like UFC fighters climb the cage to stand back up. She climbs the ropes while she's holding her hands. She gets to the top rope. And remember I said this is a high-ass ring. I mean, the ring came up to my chest, you know.
Yeah.
So she's way on the top rope. So she starts walking the top rope, a la the Undertaker holding the two chicks. And I don't know what happened because I was kind of like trying to take a picture of it. So I don't know if they fucking just let her go or she slipped. But she went straight fucking back up that fucking top rope, straight down to the concrete, which was, let's see, I'm 6 foot. It had to be over 8 feet, more than 8 feet down.
Jeez.
And the thud that she landed flat, the thud was just like, it caused the whole place to go quiet. Wow. I mean, no one knew what the hell. Miss Dyslexia and the other chick kind of stood there for a minute, and it seemed like a few moments before Dyslexia finally turned on the other girl to keep the action going. Jessica looked like she was out of it. I mean, I thought, when I heard it, I thought she was dead, dude. Seriously, I mean, it sounded dead up. So she's slowly kind of moving around, and I'm like, oh, fuck, something horribly went wrong here. I hope she's all right. Finally, like, Rachel Summerlin kind of helps her out. She's, you know, selling the back. It's like, I don't even know if she can continue. So the two other girls are going at it. And Miss Dyslexia is okay. I didn't think Casey Warfield was very good. I didn't think she was that good at all. But so they're, like, continuing the match. And then so finally Jessica James finally gets back into the match and starts wrestling in her back. It's just, like, red. You can see it's, like, turning red. And it's like, I'm like, God damn, how is she fucking continuing, dude? This is, she's got to be in so much pain. You know, this chick's crazy, you know. So they have the match, and she ends up winning. You know, she ends up kicking their ass. And so I was like, okay, she's pretty tough, man. And then after the match, Rachel comes in, celebrates. And then Miss Dyslexia has, like, some words for her. I forgot what it was, but then. And it was funny because Rachel Summerlin said that Jessica James was like her bacon to her eggs. So the whole time everyone's chanting like bacon and eggs, which I thought was pretty funny. But she grabs Jessica and swings her around, and then Mrs. Lexi kind of got out of the way, but they took out Casey Warfield. But it was like I say, it was a cool match, and I thought Jessica was going to be dead backstage or something. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah. Maybe
it was adrenaline getting her through, but she's got to be hurt. I ended up texting Lev asking her if she was okay. But after the show, you know, everyone's the girl that's selling their gimmicks and everyone's tearing down the ring, everything, and she's walking around fine. So I just went up to her and I'm like, Jesus Christ, I got to ask you, how is your back?
Right.
And she's like, oh, well, you know, I've been training a lot. I was in the training, like, taking bumps in the dojo. And going on, he says, I feel perfectly fine. Hmm. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, I stayed down because I figured she's like, you know, she explained that, like, it would kill it if she got up and continued right away. She wanted to play it off.
Because
she figured it looked pretty good. I was like, yeah, I thought you were fucking dead.
Some of that stuff.
It's too bad you never got to see Rachel Summerlin wrestle because she became
really
goddamn
good.
Great.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about her. I just never seen her, but yeah, I gotta give Jessica some props. I mean, that chick's tough. I mean, everybody thought she was dead when she hit that ground. It was like I say, I mean, she's a tiny girl. She's not very big.
Yeah.
And they go all that way down, straight down, and like I say, it was concrete. There was no mats. and the thud, I mean, it was just like, it was sick. Mm-hmm. And she's like, so it came off good? I go, hell yeah. I go, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, Jessica James, another one, has been spending some time in Japan. You can really tell the difference. Really becoming quite the worker.
Yeah, like I say, seeing her on this show and on the Queen of Queens, you know, I didn't know her at the Queen of Queens, but now seeing Christina, she's pretty solid. There's some good girls in Texas. I do got to say that.
Definitely. Yeah. They get a lot, like both here in Anarchy, featured women a lot more than most promotions that are, you know, men-based promotions. Yeah, they do a good job with that. So then we had Sammy Guevara versus Eric Shadows.
Okay, what do you guys know about the way Sammy Guevara left River City Wrestling?
Wait, what was the question?
Okay, do you know about, like, what happened when Sammy Guevara left River City Wrestling?
I have no idea.
We have no idea. We just know that on the show we watched from May, he quit RCW.
Okay, you saw that. He talked shit about Brandon Oliver and he quit, I guess, on the show you saw?
On the show we watched last night.
Okay, because I remember, like, a few weeks ago, Brandon Oliver went off on him on Facebook after this happened. Like, supposedly Sammy had texted him or they talked the day before and he said everything was cool. And then he went out there and he, like I said, talked shit about Brandon and River City Wrestling and quit.
Yeah.
And I know that Brandon was really upset about it. And, like, he was ripping the kid on Facebook. And I hadn't seen him at the RCW level. I've only gone to a few shows, so I never seen him. I heard he was, like, okay. And so I heard about all that shit that happened. And so he comes out, and he's in pretty decent shape. Him and the other guy, they're almost mirror images. I mean, they're both kind of smaller, in shape, athletic dudes. It was actually a pretty good match. If the girls weren't on the show, I probably would say this was the best one, but, you know, I'm more biased to the girls. But they had, him and Eric Shadow, they had a really, really good match. I mean, they were doing some really cool shit. A lot of flying. Sammy looked, he actually looked pretty good. I was kind of wanting to not like him because, you know, I'm cool with Brandon. If what happened, I thought that was kind of a dick move, you know. So, but he was pretty talented. They had a good match. And Sammy ends up winning, and they went for a long time, too. So he wins. And then the other owner of Inspire comes out, and this dude, he looks like something you would see in a movie. He's kind of like he'd be perfect to play the Penguin, I guess. He's kind of short, fat, and he reminds me of somebody, but I just can't think of the name, but somebody from, like, the movies and stuff. So he starts cutting a promo on Sammy, and, you know, he's saying how Sammy comes out here, and he's always talking shit, and he referenced that, and I'm not sure if he's talking about Hernandez, but he said something about, yeah, what happened with that Puerto Rican who carries the Mexican flag, who has a company nobody wants to work for. And I was like, wow, that's kind of harsh. He's talking about RCW, but I was like, you know, that's between them. I'm not involved in that. So he starts playing a promo on Sammy, talking about how he'd be great and he'll be awesome, but he has this shitty attitude and he's an asshole and he don't know how to do business. And just seemed like it was kind of like a work shoot, you know, basically.
Right.
And this guy was cutting the hell of a promo. I got to give him that. He was cutting an awesome promo. And basically at the end, he just says he's going to turn his back on Guevara and he can do what he's got to do. So he turns his back, and at first Sammy's like, not acting like he wants to do something, but he's not. But then at the last second, he does. He attacks this dude, and then they have this pull apart. And they pull apart, but then Sammy gets away and he comes running and hits the guy and kind of takes him out. So they're all kind of tending to him, and Sammy gets out of the ring on the other side where I'm at, and this other dude, I think they said his name was Thomas, I'm not too sure, but he speared the shit out of Guevara and started, like, attacking him. So security kind of grabbed him and pulled him off, and the people started, like, chanting, like, reinstate. So I'm guessing it's one of their regulars that got suspended or something.
Yeah,
and
former referee,
Thomas
Munoz.
Oh, okay, that's what, okay. He's a big deal for a referee. I thought he was one of the wrestlers. He was bigger than Sammy, and he spared the shit out of him. So then people were chanting, like, to reinstate him. So I guess, you know, they're building the angle. But it was, like, an awesome angle. Because, like I said, the promo by this guy, the owner or whatever, he was awesome. And the pull apart was actually pretty good. And then when this dude speared Sammy, the place fucking went crazy. So I'm guessing it's a pretty big angle with the crowd.
Sounds like one hell of a work to me.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah, the Sammy Guevara. Actually, last night was the first time we seen him wrestle. But we had one of our past guests just, like, totally bury him to us when we didn't even know who he was. And that saying he was a piece of shit and green and all this other stuff. But, man, the match we watched last night, he was fucking awesome in it, you know. And it was the best match on the show last night. He had a three-way ladder match. And I don't know. I don't know a lot about him, but
he might just be a piece of shit backstage. Because, like, the match was... when Brandon was going off on him on Facebook, one of the things was, I guess he was involved in a three-way with, I guess I'm pretty sure one of them was D'Lo. D'Lo. And then, I don't know who the other one was, but it was another veteran, and supposedly Brandon said that he shit the bed in the match and that D'Lo went off on him in the back about, you know, he didn't go into everything details. He just made it sound like, you know, that,
yeah,
you know, they weren't impressed with him, and, like, he had a chance to step up, and he didn't, and stuff like that. But the match was good to me. I mean, I thought he looked good. But he's probably just a fucking piece of shit back then.
Right.
No one likes him.
He seems to be pretty decent in the ring. Go figure.
Yeah.
So next up, we had centerfold Matthew Palmer against the Texas Lion Carson.
Carson, if anyone has a WWE look on this show, it's Carson.
We said the same thing last night.
Okay, check this out. Doesn't he look like a cross, like if you morph Brian Pillman and Michael Elgin together?
Well, where are you getting the height from? Because he's a pretty tall guy.
Yeah, well, he's taller than Michael Elgin, but he's kind of like, he's built like kind of Michael Elgin, and he looks like Brian Pillman to me, kind of.
I thought kind of old Adam Bomb. WWE.
Yeah,
kind of Adam Bomb-ish.
A little bit. Yeah, but he looks like $1 million. I mean, no one was really out of shape on the show except for that Bradley dude. But, yeah, I mean, that's the first thing I noticed. It's like, goddamn, this dude, he looks like he could go into NXT right now. Matthew Palmer, he's been around for, like, quite a long time. I think Trina manages him in RCW, but I haven't seen him lately. But they had another really good match back and forth. And I was actually surprised that Matthew Palmer won. And, after the match, Carson wants to shake his hand. Palmer's kind of like blowing him off and starts to leave, but then he turns around and comes back to shake his hand, and the crowd pops for it. But it was a pretty good match. I would imagine they're probably the two most veteran of everybody that was there.
Yeah, we're big fans of Matthew Palmer.
Yeah, Palmer's
real good. We've seen him a lot in Anarchy Championship Wrestling. That's a kid that's got, like, no fear, man. He's done some crazy fucking shit over there. You know, he worked for Beyond Wrestling earlier this year, so I was happy to see him get a shout up here in the Northeast.
But Carson, if you're right, that motherfucker's ready to roll off the red carpet right into NXT.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he's not complaining because he gets to go home to Barbie Hayden every night, so, you know, he gets to that, too.
But Matthew Palmer got the victory. So then we had your girl, Leva Bates, taking on Paige Turner of the Bookmarks.
Yeah, it probably wasn't the best match, but to me it was the most entertaining to me. Paige Turner, she's pretty green. I think she's got, like, a long way to go, but she didn't do anything, like, wrong or anything, but you could just see the difference between the two. But the stage really helped Leva when she came out, because she came out as Catwoman.
Catwoman.
And she was building the heat. To the heat spot as soon as she came off the curtain, because she's coming out and she's got the sexy ass Catwoman costume, and she's got some Batman graphic novels that she's holding, like they're like the greatest thing in the world to her. So she's posing with those. She gets in the ring, hits the corner, she's waving the graphic magazine on both sides. She goes to the announcer. She starts showing, opening the magazine, starts showing the announcer, and starts showing the referee, and then, you know, they do the intros. And she's being all wacky, you know, wrapping herself in the banners that people are throwing and just being, you know, a little crazy. And then, you know, the match starts, and it was actually a pretty decent match. Leva was doing some pretty cool stuff. You know, just basically carrying the whole thing. But what happened was, it's like about halfway through, she I forget what she did to the other girl, but later on, so she climbs through the top rope, or the second rope, and right before she gets to do anything, you just see, like, those bookmarks. They just hold up fucking comic books. And then Leva kind of, like, looks at them, and then they start ripping up the comic books, and the whole fucking place went crazy, like, ooh! And then Leva's like, what the hell are y'all doing? And then, you know, the other girl kind of knocked her off the ropes and got the heat on her. And then when she had, like, her Leva in the submission, they started tearing up the comic books again, and everyone starts going, ooh, and then that's when she makes her, like, big comeback. And then, you know, she basically hit all her big moves on her, basically ends up at the end, the girl grabs the graphic novels and tries to hit her, but Leva super kicks the novels out of her hand, then gives her, like, a super kick, kind of like to the chest, drops her to her knees, and then she gives her the superhero kick right to the face, and then pins her. And it was pretty good. It was all Leva. So you knew she like planned the whole match, and then she just totally carried the girl. But yeah, it was pretty entertaining. I got like the whole thing on video. I haven't posted it because I don't know if they do DVDs or not. I don't want, you know, to post something I'm not supposed to. But it was really good. I got like a lot of good pictures on my Facebook and stuff. And Leva looked good. I mean, she looked. Like, you know, I know sometimes you say she both spots, but she was perfect for this match. She was like, everything she did looked good. It was pretty awesome. And she looked great in the Catwoman outfit, too.
I like the spot with them tearing up the comic books and Leva flipping out. That's pretty good.
Yeah, she built us in the second she came out because she was like half the graphic novels that she had. So as soon as those girls did that, it's like everybody reacted like the way, you know, like perfectly. It's like, man, she fucking had that spot planned the second she came out, and it fucking worked.
I'll say this, man. Leva Bates gets the work all over the goddamn place. Yeah. You never know where she's going to show up next.
Well, man, it wasn't easy for them to do this show. They carpooled to this show. They drove 18 hours straight to get to this show. 20 for Solo. Solo's from Tampa.
Wow.
So they drove, and then, they just, you know, took off in the morning. You know, and took the 18-hour drive back. So it's like, you know, that's a long fucking drive. I mean, it's one thing to go from, like, you know, going through the Carolinas or, like, up north. You know, the states are so small up north. You can go through, like, a three straights in an hour. But Texas is a different story, man. And, you know what I mean? I'm sure half that drive was just Texas.
Right.
But, yeah, 18 hours in a car. Their main goal was to just, to get there, do the show, and then they were going to take straight back off. And I was like, no, I'm kind of convinced that they needed to chill for a while before, you know what I mean, get on that drive. So, yeah, I mean, she works everywhere, and they put in, they're getting themselves out there. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to work the show, because I'm sure they're not making a whole lot. You know, I'm sure they make up for it in gimmicks. But you know that's a long drive. I don't think I'd want to do that. But
no,
you know they're willing to get that experience and do it.
That's the business.
Yeah, that's what it is to be young and be in your 20s and want it. You know.
Yeah, yeah. So. And then they were road tripping it this weekend because they were going from Florida to Atlanta, and it was Leva, Mia, Sue Young, and Jessica Havoc. They were carpooling because they were doing like what do you call those things? Those shoots?
The customs.
The customs, yeah. They were doing customs this weekend. It's funny. Every time I hear about the chicks doing the customs, I think back to my old co-host, the Pizza Machine. And he used to work for a company called Cyberfights out of Canada.
All right.
And basically it was the male gay version of these matches. So it was like him and Evan Bourne and Christopher Daniels and a whole bunch of other dudes went up there and they just wrestled in an empty little arena thing. and basically just put each other in rest hose and stretch blues and stuff. And it was like all marketed to gay people and stuff.
And in the main event, it was the NWA World Women's Championship as Barbie Hayden defended against Mia Yim.
Yeah, this was pretty good. Barbie Hayden, she's pretty good. I've seen her a few times. She's a pretty girl. She used to have like pink in her hair. Now she has like green streak. But she's a pretty girl. She can work. And you know, Mia's awesome. To me, I think Mia right now is like the top women's wrestler. I mean, I think she's gotten to that point, or she's real close to being.
Yep.
Like a lot of those girls are older. Shirley to Melissa, Sarah to Ray. That generation's kind of going away. And yep. To me, Mia's like the new leader. You know what I mean? She's freaking awesome. And she is ripped, dude. I mean, like standing next to her, like just, you know, when she still had a gear on, you just see how chiseled her back is. I mean, she puts a lot of work in the gym. I mean, when I first saw her, the first time I saw her live was she was with Prince Nana at ROH in Atlanta for WrestleMania weekend. And she was a pretty girl, but you can tell she's like toned down like so much. I remember she kicked the shit out of Homicide on that show. And, and every time I see her matches, she's great athletic and do like fucking that one move off the top rope. Was it a Falcon Arrow? I don't know. I get all those moves confused, but she's got that awesome move off the top. She got that awesome cradle pile driver. I thought she almost. I heard she was going to do it to Trina Michaels. I got so scared, and then when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh! I thought she was going to kill Trina, but that packing pile driver she's got is fucking awesome. I remember I saw her in one three-way on Shine where she, like, doubled, like, two girls were going to suplex her, and she fucking ended up suplexing Shanna and some other girl. I thought that was impressive as hell. But, yeah, they had a good match, and then she explained to me what she did, but somehow she accidentally busted Barbie's mouth open pretty good, and Barbie was seeing out a little blood. And, and Mia starts apologizing during the match. You know, she's there wrestling. She's like, I'm sorry I made you bleed, Barbie. And they had a really good match. It was pretty good. And Barbie won. You know, first champion's got to go over. But it was really good. And Mia looked fantastic. I mean, everything she did looked great. I mean, like I say, she looks great. She's put together. And, I wish WWE would pick her up because, I think she could be a star for WWE, you know?
Definitely. I agree with that. All the way. Mm-hmm. But, what you were saying earlier, Mia Yim, man, like, she's just a gym rat every day, and you could tell she's
actually,
getting
both
amazing.
Of those girls, both of those girls.
Barbie Hayden, too. Both are everyday gym goers, and you could tell both of their buddies.
Barbie looked a little soft this week. She's still looking in great shape, but she looked a little soft. I think they've had some personal issues outside as far as like family members' health and stuff.
Right.
So I think maybe she hasn't been hitting the gym as. She still looks great. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying because compared to the last time I saw her, she was really toned, like really toned out, and she just wasn't as toned out, you know. But she still looked great. So.
I hear you. But, yeah, so a good main event, and Barbie Hayden retained. And I agree with you, Mia Yim, definitely on the top level of independent women's wrestlers in the entire United States right now. Without a doubt.
She is up there with Mercedes, up there with Iva Lease. She's nothing against the tag team. I don't think they should be tag teaming. I think she should be single. I like the tag team, but I'm just saying at this point I agree with him. She's at that point in her career where I think she needs to just be the single star.
Well, she does, most of her work she does is as singles. I mean, for the most part, their tag team has mainly been Shine, but she does like work like they're not even a team in Shimmer. So, you know, I think we're not. I think they're happy with like what they're doing because they're both working singles, but they both get the team and they're actually pretty close. So I think they're like happy right now. But yeah, I mean, I think I really would like to see them push her, like I guess basically to be like Cheerleader Melissa what Cheerleader Melissa is now. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Or has been. I think she could take that top spot and be the top women's wrestler. Really, and she's only going to get better. I mean, I think she can get a lot better, actually.
Yeah, and she just keeps getting better all the time. She just keeps improving, you know.
Yeah. And she's a sweetheart. All three of them are, like, super nice. Like, you know, after the show, I kind of, because, you know, I went to go eat with them after the show. But before, you know, I just kind of stand to the side while all the guys go buy their gimmicks and stuff and get their autographs and pictures. And, you know, they're smart. So they're, you know, they're friendly to everybody. And, you know, they're really cool with everybody. You know, they take time to talk to everybody who wanted to talk to them and stuff. And, you know, they made a little money on there. And they're just super cool. I mean, shit, they let me hang out with them the last few times, you know. So I can't complain about that. So, no, but yeah, I mean,
you should be nice to your fans, you know.
Yeah,
they're the ones.
Yeah. Well, no, I've actually seen some wrestlers be dicks. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I know what you mean. Yeah. No, I know. God, over all these fucking years, you'll see some dicks. But most, everybody's cool.
And Leva's smart because Leva has one of those things that she can put on your phone and take credit cards. So I've noticed that some of the shows, she'll sell more gimmicks than the other girls because, you know, most people buy cash and then, you usually run out of cash or whatever. And then, you know, she'll always get a few more with her little credit card gimmick.
Right.
So that's pretty, I'm sure all the girls will start slowly getting those and then they'll all have them at the convention.
Oh, yeah.
But she's kind of a pioneer on that one. But, yeah, she's a... That was awesome. She's a sweetheart. I kind of was really pissed off at the post office because I remember last time I told you I had got her a poster.
Yeah.
I had my friend who's an artist. He made me this. I got a picture of Leva and Mia where they're doing. It's before the last Shine show where they're dressed like the X-Men.
Uh huh.
Like Leva's Warpath and Mia's Blink from the new X-Men movie. So I had my friend take this picture and turn it into made it a comic book cover.
Huh.
And it's like the uncanny Lucha. It was this fucking awesome fucking poster. The dude sent it to me two day fucking priority. And a week later, I still hadn't got it. And then it took another week to fucking get it. So now I gotta send it to fucking Florida and shit. So
the U.S. Postal
Service. Yeah, go to UPS. Go to UPS. Fuck the U.S. Post Office. Fuck the assholes.
Ask not what your country can do for you, what you could do for your country.
So, yeah, that was Inspired Pro Wrestling's No Turning Back, man. It sounded like a really good show.
Yeah, like I said, it was great. The venue was great. The lighting, the matches were really good. One of the guys from the Observer website, he helps out there. I'm not exactly sure what he does, but he started talking to me, and he starts calling all the owners and the announcer dude, and he's like, yeah, this is Ed from Wrestling Observer, and I'm here, okay. Kind of so embarrassed. It's not like if I'm part of Wrestling Observer, I'm like the bottom man on the totem pole and shit. So, but it was kind of funny because everyone, like, and then when they hear that, they're all like, oh, yeah, and then, you know, they start, like, asking me how I like the show and all this. I was like, yeah, no, the show was great, man. You know, it was cool. You know, everybody was nice. There were a bunch of other guys who weren't on the show who were there, like Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him from RCW, and then a few other people. That one guy, Jack Jamison from the Anarchy, was there. And it was a great show, man. I'm glad I made the trek. You know, it was worth it.
And Inspire returns to Marchesa Hall in theater on August 31st for Relentless. When Inspire champion one man Mike Dell defends his title against number one contender Ray Death Row. But why don't you tell people about your podcast before we let you go?
Oh, okay. Yeah. If you haven't heard it before, I do a show called Over the Top Radio, formerly the Drunkcast, but that was like shit years ago by now. But check out. It's we're at a Blog Talk Radio. Basically, it's overthetopradio.com. Oh, wait. What the fuck is it? I can't even think of my own show right now. Over the Top Radio at blogtalkradio.com/Cutrer. Cutrer is C-U-T-R-E-R. And then older shows are at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. And you can also follow us at angrymarks.com. It's probably the easiest thing to do is just go to angrymarks.com, look at podcasts, find Over the Top Radio. And we've been doing the show for shit going on. We just did our 300th show, so I guess that's
300.
6 years, maybe. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been a long time. We've had a lot of, we've interviewed a lot of the big names in pro wrestling. We do a lot of theme shows where we talk about either like certain pay-per-views or certain aspects of wrestling, like hardcore or strongman or high flyers. You know, we get Lance Storm on all the time. We get Dave on a few times a year. We have, you know, real good fun time, not too serious. Well, sometimes me and Katura pretty much want to kick the shit out of each other by the end of the show, but, you know, we do a good fun show, so check it out if you haven't. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. So, like I say, over the top radio, blocktownradio.com/Couture. And if you're a member of the Wrestling Observer or Figure Four Weekly, or just hear about the shit we do and want to hang out at WrestleMania or in Vegas every year, you can contact me. I'm the guy who sets up all our conventions and meetups, and I will fill you up with all the information of where we will be and where you will get a chance to talk wrestling with Dave Meltzer. And you probably won't see Brian unless you look down. He's kind of short. Yeah, we have a good time. So if you're interested in hanging out at WrestleMania or in Vegas, contact me at f4wfan@hotmail.com.
There you have it, man. We appreciate you coming on again, man, and definitely want to have you on again in the future.
No problem, man. It's unfortunately, like, these shows are, it seems like the ones in Austin are always on Sunday, which is not a good time for me because I work on Sundays. Hopefully, if they bring in Leva or Mia, I will definitely take the night off and take the trip to go see the show. So hopefully they'll book them a little more. But yeah, I mean, whenever I see a show, man, I'll let you guys know if you want me to come on and talk about it. I'd be happy to.
Definitely, absolutely. Ed in San Antonio, thanks a lot, man.
All right, no problem. You guys have a good night.
You too. Later.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
I'm gonna dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.